Amen. Well, if I could take a few minutes, I want to brag on God. First of all, I just want to say thank you all for blessing us on a birthday the other day. Thank you very much. Truly blessed. Blessed. You know, Brother John had a good day as well. Brother's born on the best day on the planet. I always tease him about that. And that banana, and that, man, tell your mama, that cheese, that German chocolate cake. I was covered in your cheesecake. That was your banana pudding. But I brought it to work because my family was like, we're not touching that stuff. they Jessica had a piece, but my coworkers loved it. They devoured that thing, man. I came back with just like a little sliver left. That was mine. So, but it was truly a blessing. Truly a blessing. My uncle is like my favorite uncle. He's the oldest kid in my with my mom and the siblings. I believe Monday evening, going into Tuesday morning, he started having trouble breathing. He lives in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and it got to a point where he was literally not able to really breathe. And so they took him and they put him in ICU, and what seemed like his throat was kind of closing up, and so they intubated him and they put a breathing tube. down his throat to breathe for him. And so they gave us the word about 11 o'clock yesterday morning. And throughout the day, no changes. Nothing was really happening. And the family just went to immediately, you know us, we just went to begin decreeing wholeness, curse the lies of the enemy. And at 3 o'clock this afternoon, they took the tube out. He's completely breathing on his own again. And so, praise God, I want to thank him for that. The word still works, amen. So everybody was commenting on my cousin's statements about, you know, we're going to pray hard, we're going to pray. Now I said, we're going to decree life and wholeness to him. He is the healed of the Lord. And that's the, like Brother Brian was saying about our identity, that's who God has called us to be. You know, we don't hoping and a wishing and a praying that we're going to get healed. We exercise the authority and receive the health that the Father has already given us. It's like pastors told us, if we're sitting here praying for healing, we're wasting our time because we're asking for something that the Father has already given. We have to receive it and know that it's ours. And so I thank God for the manifestation of wholeness from my uncle, and he will continue to get stronger and whole and get out of there very, very fast. As you all know, this is kind of a busy season for me getting ready for South by Southwest. We got, as of tomorrow, a month away from our event, the sixth year that we've had the Kingdom Experience. And it was really interesting this particular year. We had to really trust God for some things because we got the boot of the location that we were at for the last 5 years and had to trust God. But God knows how, I'm going to tell you, he knows how to do it, and he does it in a way that you know he did it, you know. We had the one of the brothers that works with me on the event, his son is a senior, and he plays basketball at Bowie High School. And he just happened to be talking to one of the other fathers of one of the young men that were playing. They just were talking, and the conversation came up about our event during South by Southwest. And so the gentleman was like, well, he said, well, tell me more about it. Sounds really interesting. So my friend, you know, shared with him what we had been doing for the last few years, and that we had got to a point where we were looking for a facility. And he said, you know what? He goes, I think that might be something that my church can facilitate. He said, let me, I'm not making any promise. He said, but let me get back to you. I'm going to connect you with somebody, and then we'll see what happens from there. So anyway, this was like, I guess, a week or two later. My friend got a phone call from one of the pastors of the church. And he said, yes, Brother so-and-so told me that y'all were looking for a venue. And he said, 2 weeks ago, I was in prayer, and God laid it on my heart that our church should be some type of outreach to South by Southwest. He put it on my heart strongly. He said, but God, I don't know anybody who's doing anything Christian-oriented. I don't know anybody. He found somebody. So God has, he always has that donkey that you just got to go in and say, the master has use of this donkey, you know. And so, praise God. So they've been a blessing. It's going to be at, and it's really awesome because We're going to be closer into downtown, which is something the South By people always were wanting for our event. With them having to go hang signage, our event was the like way out of the way, so it was a trouble for them to have to go wait for someone to show up, put signage, and then have to fight all the traffic to get back. Now we're closer. We're actually going to be on campus at the University Avenue Church of Christ. So it's like right down the street from downtown. So they were ecstatic. Then come to find out, it gets even better. The gentleman who I believe he's neither the senior, he's one of the pastors. His next door neighbor is the guy that's the directing manager of all of South by Southwest. And they already have a relationship. So he was like, yeah, we know those people. They're great people. So God's just working it all out. And it's just it. We're excited. We've got some really awesome people that are going to be with us. One of them, I don't know if you all listen to, when you listen to Candle, there's a young lady that comes on there named Jamie Grace. She's going to be there. James Cleveland, the great gospel singer, his granddaughter is going to be with us this year. So a lot of good people. It's going to be a great, it's the March the 15th, the 16th, and the 17th. So be lifting that up in prayer. The group that came a few years ago that was doing evangelistic outreach, the campus group Impact, you talked about Impact last when you ministered. They'll be back with us this year, street evangelizing all of 6th Street, all of that area. So it's going to be a great week, and really excited about all that God's going to do this year. It's going to be a special South By. I really believe that they're going to see some really awesome moves of God during that time. And then we're getting ready for Zero Gravity Outreach. We're getting ready for this next season of traveling. And what really God laid on my heart today came out of a time. The guys just recently, we started getting on the phone every Monday, or every other Monday, and just sharing just some word of God and just telling some things around, just encouraging each other in the word. And my brother Tim, who's a leader, he was ministering on, you know how the Bible tells, when Moses stood before the people and said, this day I set before you life and death, you know, blessings, curses, choose the right thing, which is life. And the whole conversation of that was just the fact that we have the awesome opportunity to make a choice every day in our life, in our Christian walk. And that sparked me to think about what God laid on my heart today, which tonight we're going to be talking about the heart of grace. The heart of grace. Y'all know this as much as I do that Pastor Jim has instilled in us an awesome teaching in what is called as original intent. Original intent. The Father is not schizophrenic. Okay? What he started in the beginning, guess what? It's still the same for today. You know, he says to us, you know, that I don't change not for your sake, so that you're not consumed. So the same thing that he started in Adam and Eve, though they fell from that, God, through the Redeemer, brought us right back into that same plan. He's, like I said, he's not schizophrenic. The plan has not changed. And so you can find every aspect of original intent in the scriptures. It's just all over there. One aspect of original intent that is woven throughout the word is the character and heart of our Father, which we're going to talk about today, specifically the why of him creating man. Adam was created by the hands of God and placed, no, he wasn't just placed, he was made ruler of the world, and he didn't create or build that world. God created everything around him and then set him in there and said, now you have dominion over it. And all of this was prompted by one thing, his love and his grace. God didn't create automatons to just mindlessly serve him. Yes, Father, we will do it. No. If we don't have a heart responding to that love that first sought us, like what Brother Brian was saying, we weren't even thinking about him. He was consciously thinking of us. That same love, we have to respond in like kind to that love and receive it. As of late, you all know this. The message of grace has been under attack by many people. And it blows my mind. I'm like, how in the world can you have an issue with the character of God, the grace and the mercy of God? That's his essence. That's who he is. And you're going to reject that and say that people are getting, how can you have too much grace? It just blows my mind when I see people attacking the gospel of grace. Now, I understand in their mind, they're thinking that people are saying you can do whatever you want in God, but that's not the point. The point is understanding the character and mercy of God that exists in who he is can set us free to live according to the plan that he has for us. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to look through the new covenant and we're going to read love letters from the Father. We're going to look at how vital grace is to us as new covenant believers, okay? So let's start with John chapter 1, very familiar passage of scripture, John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And a very familiar passage, you all know this. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You know, to reject and not lay hold of the grace of God puts one in the same category of the Sadducees and Pharisees. Because they walked around when Jesus was walking, he was manifesting the love and mercy of the Father to those that needed it. So every time they had a judgmental word, they were rejecting that grace. They were rejecting it, knowing that, and it was even available to them. But yet they got those religious glasses on because it didn't look like the way they thought it should be. And we're rejecting the very grace of God on display, setting people free. That's dangerous grounds. And then also you see John, he's tying grace to truth. Because he's saying it's full of grace and full of truth. So, okay, so if you're not only going to negate the grace, you're negating the truth. Because it's tied to the grace. You can't have one without the other. When Jesus was manifesting his grace, he was manifesting who he was. He was manifesting the Father's love in the earth. And so, that's the truth. That's who he is. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. So to reject that grace on display in manifestation is to reject the very truth of who he is. So you can't have one without the other. That's why he says he's full of grace and full of truth. They go hand in hand. So that's the first thing that we have to look at. Let's look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We'll start there and read through verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the judgment of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24, you need to underline that one. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read verse 24 again. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, so here we see that grace is tied to our justification and that it's also a manifested gift. You know, Brother John was preaching the other day, Sunday, and he was ministering on the bridegroom and the virgins, okay? Now, you have to understand, the bridegroom coming in the first place, he was the gift. He was the gift that was coming. And the ones that were ready, that had the oils, they were in reception mode. They were in position to receive him as the gift of who he was. But the other ones that weren't ready to receive that gift, that did not prepare, they couldn't receive who he was. He was coming with all of his essence, with everything that he had in him. If one chooses to reject the grace, they choose to also reject the justification that comes with it. Because that in itself is the source of our redemption. So if you reject the grace, you're rejecting the giver of the grace. That's what I'm saying. You can't negate who he is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verses 8 and 9. Be a foolish thing to reject the one that's the giver of the gift. If the gift was come, you're going to turn down the gift. You're turning down the giver of the gift as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 8. Concerning this, I implore the Lord. And y'all know this passage, very familiar passage. Jesus, Paul is saying here that he implored of the Lord three times that the thorn that was besetting him, it might leave him. And we all know what the Father told him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. God is no respecter of persons, saints. What he's saying to Paul, he's saying to us that his grace is sufficient for every situation that would try to come against us. His grace is our empowerment to overcome anything that would oppose who we are in him. His grace empowers us to walk against those things that say, you're not going to get over this. This bill, you can forget it. Ain't no way you're going to pay it this month. No, I cast that lie down. His grace is sufficient for this bill, for this lie of symptoms that try to come against me. His grace is my empowerment, and I will come short of no good thing in him. To depend on that grace means we are depending on our, to not depend on that grace means we are not depending on him. Rather, we're depending on our ability. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? We're going to utterly fail. We're going to utterly fail in comparison to trusting in his power that flows through our weaknesses. You know, one of the things that we tend to want to do sometimes when we're going through stuff, we try to reason. Why is this happening to me? It don't matter why it's happening. The question is, are we going to trust in the grace that's available to get us over it and through it so that we don't have to deal with it no more and can realize that God is the one who's working in us both to will and do according to his good pleasure? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. Our faith in the grace of God is what saves us. If we can, what does the word say? If we confess with what? Our mouth, and believe in our heart that God raised him, the anointed redeemer, from the dead, we will be saved. So what this literally saying is, his lordship is directly tied to the grace. His original reason for creating man and also him raising the son. What did the Father say that was the key that brought Jesus out of that state? He said, again, thou shalt be unto me a son, not a servant, a son. Grace. And that echoed for all of us. When it started with Christ, he was the firstborn of many brethren. He brought us out of that captivity that could no longer hold us captive and ushered us right back into where the Father intended for us to walk in. And that's all, like I said, that's all tied back to his character. That his lordship is not some him standing on the throne and hitting us over the head when we don't get something right. His lordship is his character. It's grace and mercy and love. That's who the Father is. Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at that. Verse 16, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. See, and it's my prayer that as we're looking at these scriptures that we see an interweaving of the grace of God. Like I said, it blows my mind that people want to relegate the grace message as something that's not available. It's all throughout the path. It's all throughout the word. You can't get saved without grace. So I just don't understand it. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's an attempt of the enemy to get us to try to do stuff on our own. and unplug from the grace and mercy that God, that He empowers us to walk victorious in. And the minute, like I said, the minute we do that, we're gonna fail. Because we can't do it. It's what He has already accomplished. We're walking in what He has done. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of judgment of grace, so that we might receive mercy and grace and find help in the time of need. The throne, He said, we can come boldly to it, not timidly. So that's the one thing that religion will try to do. So you can't, no. We can come boldly. Amen. We can come boldly. Yeah. It's like Pastor said about Stuart coming in the house. That's His house. He can come in anytime. That's the way it is with us in the kingdom. There is no hesitancy in coming to the Father and receiving what we need from Him, because it's available. It's the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. And the Bible says we find grace and mercy there. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 10. Thank you, Father. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, one thing about the grace that we receive, it's not for us to just lavish in. It's for, yes, we want to take advantage of the grace. Don't get me wrong, because it's available. But He says for us to be good stewards of it, so that, and if it's manifold, that means it's available, it's in plenty, it's plentiful. So we should be giving that same grace to others, and through our example, they're led to the goodness of God. The Bible says that men, when they see us, they'll see our good works. Our good works are tied to the grace and mercy of God. When they see that in action, they're going to be drawn to the Father. So we have to be manifestations of that grace, responsible to manifest it to others. James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isn't it funny that these people who want to negate the message of grace, they come across very braggadocious. They come across as if, I got to tell you, it's a pharisaical spirit. It's like, I know more than you. And it's like my brother was saying on a chat the other day, we was having a discussion, and he was talking about a project, and he was saying that basically, he said, these guys had this mindset that they're going to be masters of the word. They're going to master the word. You better let the word master you. you better let the truth of the word come in here and change anything that's not right, rather than I just have all of this knowledge about the Bible, so therefore I can put... No, that's not changing nobody's life. And it's definitely not changing yours. Let that word, what we said, that brother, I think Bill Anderson used to always say, let the word become life in your life. Let it get down here and change you. And that's, you know, that's what they're saying here. Those people who want to get up and decree they know so much about God, they usually don't know nothing. You know, the man, Jesus gave the example of the man that said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like that thing over there. And, you know, I do this and I do this. And the other guy said, man, look, have mercy on me. A sin. He couldn't even look up. And Jesus said, who you think the Father, who you think got through? Right. The one that was humble, the one that realized that it wasn't about him. Mm-hmm. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Once again, just like we stated earlier, grace is tied directly to our salvation. So rejecting the grace is rejecting the source that the salvation brings with it. So you can't do it. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. We're almost done. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin... This got me excited. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but you are under grace. You know, this is why the new covenant is our covenant. You know, the old covenant, that's good for types and shadows, but that's not our covenant. We don't live there. We live in that new covenant, and the promises that are in that new covenant belong to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now get this, and this got me so excited. This is how the Lord showed it to me. Under the law, sin was the master, and law provided a way to deal with the master of sin, but it wasn't a permanent fix. It wasn't enough. It was, and this is how this, I got so excited, because when the Lord showed it to me, I got a clear picture of it. The Lord said the law was like, it's because it says that sin was the master, right? So the law was literally like either the Underground Railroad or manumission papers. Now, for those that understand slavery, if you wanted to be free as a slave, you had two choices. You could either run away, you could run away, or if you had a good master and you served them well, they could give you a writ, which was called manumission papers. The only problem with either one of those things is they could be revoked. They weren't good, just period and point blank. Somebody could come, and if you don't believe that, watch 12 Years a Slave. There's instances where people would have their papers. They were a free slave. They would have those papers revoked from them, and they were back into slavery. So it wasn't a permanent fix. It was a temporary fix. But this is what the Lord said. He said, with the new covenant of grace in Christ Jesus, we receive the Emancipation Proclamation for sin. That was a complete fix, permanent, done. You can't change it. When Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, slavery ended. When Jesus came and ratified the new covenant, slavery of sin was dealt with. We don't have to deal with it no more. We don't have to worry about it because he settled it. He took it for us. And so we can walk in the freedom of who he called us to be from the very beginning. It's a done deal. It's a permanent fix. We don't have to go back. You don't have to worry about, oh, is it going to be revoked? No. You are a son. The only way we can denounce it and walk away from it is we do just that. We don't want it no more. But the Father's not going to even let us, he don't even let us go that easy, because he says he's married even to the backslider. So what we have in him, that grace has set us completely free from that master of sin that would try to tell you, you know, that's why the things of the past, that's why that rearview mirror is smaller. My brother said a few days ago on a chat we were watching, he said the rearview mirror is always smaller than the window that's ahead. Because God doesn't want us looking. Every now and then it's a good idea to look back and see what he brought us from, but he don't want us focused on that. He wants us focusing in the life that he's given us in the anointed Redeemer. Last passage of scripture, Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. It doesn't get any clearer than that. I mean, if our faith is based on anything other than grace, it's not faith. That sounds a lot like religion, having a form, denying its power. That's not where we live, church. God has ushered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and he has done it in such a way that no man can take credit for it, no man can glory in it. All we can do is say it's by the grace of God that we exist as sons. Bottom line. Grace is not a pass. It's not a pass to see how much we can do and still be saved, but rather it is the power for us to be who the Father intended for us to be. His manifested sons in the earth. Don't let anyone downplay ever again the importance of grace and the message of grace. It is essential to understanding who we are and what the Father intends for us to walk in as new covenant believers. Amen. Don't be robbed of it. Don't be robbed of it. Don't, you know, just like I was sharing the other day at communion, these guys that were, you know, making fun of Gloria Copeland and you know, saying, you know, how stupid and asinine for somebody to say that, you know, you can speak the word and not get the flu. Yes, you can. And that's by the grace of God. God didn't make it complicated. He could have had us doing like some of these false religions and bowing 85 different times a day and running around. I got to go to some city and all this other stuff. But no, he gave us his word. And in giving us his word, he gave us his character so that we can speak that word and know. Just like this passage earlier that talked about, if you know, we can boldly come to his throne of grace. We have that access. So I would just encourage you, church, don't let the grace message be watered down. Don't let you ever feel bad or feel ashamed for believing it, because that's the very nature and character of our Father. And that's if we get that inside of here, we can manifest it to others, and then they can see the true nature of God. Amen. 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 I am done. That you were blessed. Amen. Press in. God has great things in store. And be here Sunday for Brother Carl. It's going to be a blessing. I really believe he's going to come with a fresh word. And we are continuing celebrating. Don't be moved. I also want to say, don't be moved by what you see. Just because you see empty seats, that don't mean nothing. This church is full. This church is full. You know, one thing I was thinking of the other day, and this was years ago, that I think a pastor was saying a long time ago that, you know, House of the Lord was a filling station. You know, you all are agents of change. We got enough people in this room that can change this city. We don't need, it's wonderful to have a nice roster and great member, you know, great members. But, I mean, y'all the faithful ones. You are here when a lot of people are out at restaurants. And I was telling my wife, I said, you know, I don't know if it's me getting older or whatever, but I mean, come on, it's like, do we really, if you can't love somebody and show some love 365, you need a special day? It just makes me wonder. Not to say that I wouldn't bless my wife and honor her, definitely. But when you know what I'm saying? It's like you see all of these people. It's like we were in a store and we could barely shop because people, I'm like, really? So you waited till one day that I can't get out of the store because you got all of this stuff. I'm like. And it's like Brian said, even with all of that, that's nothing compared to the love of God. And sometimes people are oblivious to that because they're so caught up. I digress. but allow that grace that the Father has to just continually meditate on it and allow it to come and be so real in here that it's just something that we manifest continually to others. And by that, they'll see our Father and be drawn to him and see who he really is, because religion has done a lot of damage to people understanding the true nature of God. But that's changing. Amen. That is changing. Amen. I'm done. Brother Richard?
Well, praise God. Good word. You know about the reciprocating blessing? Well, it's time. It's time. So you know what to do here. And what we're going to do is we're just going to praise God for a little bit. Just give him thanks for his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that we find in the word. We thank you for help, for health, for strength that we find in your word. We thank you for the truth that does not change in your word. And Father, I thank you that your word has been sown into our hearts. It has entered our ears and into our hearts, Father God, and we choose to keep it watered, to keep it fertilized, to keep it stirred up so that it can grow and produce much fruit in our hearts and lives. We thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Stand with us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Sing this with me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Sin took us away. Grace brought us back. We were blind. We were lost. We were a sinner. But grace has brought us back. His amazing grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Lord. Go ahead and lift your voice in praise and thanksgiving to God for all that he has done. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for all that you have done. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for those that are gathered here tonight. I thank you, Father God, for their faithfulness, for their commitment to you and to this house, Father God. Blessed be your name. And I thank you, Father God, that you are blessing your people tonight. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now, Father, we just celebrate and rejoice for Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give the Lord ovation of praise. We celebrate you, Father God. We celebrate health. We celebrate life. We celebrate all that you have provided through your word, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that Pastor Jim is strong every day and every way. He is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Thank you, Lord, for his new heart. We thank you, Father God, for a new vitality. You said that if we would wait on you, that we would rise up with wings as eagles, that we would be able to run and that we would be able to walk. And that we would not faint, we would not stumble, we would not grow weary. And I thank you, Father God, that your word is true, and by the stripes that our Redeemer took on his back, Pastor Jim is healed. We thank you for that, Father God. And you, what we have committed to you, you are able to keep until that day. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you. We will not turn loose. We will not stop. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I call you blessed. The face of God shines on you. You are surrounded with favor. You're surrounded with grace. Everywhere you go, you have divine favor, and everything you put your hand to prospers and is successful because the Lord directs your paths and gives you strength. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Go with God.